Well, we have an incredible way of celebrating this new year. And thank you. Incredible way of celebrating this new year as a church this morning. Baptism Sundays are some of our favorites because they are people who are gathering to declare through their testimony in life how they want to live. And because we've had to put a bunch of these in because there's a number of people who are looking to be baptized, which has been an incredible joy as a faith family. But there's ones that are in this service, but there are ones in last service. So you should go online and check out the ones that are in the previous service, just as you can hear the stories of God's faithfulness to his people and his people responding by saying, which is the statement of baptism, amen. This is how I want to live my life. We want to be clear that the waters of baptism are not some type of holy waters. They don't save a soul. And what happens this morning doesn't magically make someone a Christ follower. At the same time, we want to be clear that what is happening today is not small. It's not a small event in the life of a person who is getting baptizing. The significance of what these people are doing in front of you is monumental. They are declaring by word and by vulnerable practice today, and that's what I would call a seismic moment in their life. And we as witnesses are able to feel those vibrations. And what I would say, the vibrations that you feel this morning of this seismic moment in their life is the building of the kingdom of God. It's a big deal to celebrate lives who come before you to say, I'm in. There's going to be a line that's used for each of the baptisms. It's something that we have said for years as a church. It's a liturgy, a phrase that means a lot, and we've intentionally crafted. We'll say, as we baptize, in the likeness of his death, and in the likeness we raise him out of the waters of his resurrection. Right, in the likeness of his death and resurrection. And wanted to just pull these words from Romans chapter 6, where we get this imagery that we use to craft that phrase. Romans 6, 4 says, we were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, which is what is happening today. These people have already placed their faith in Christ. They are already declared, but through their commitment and confession to him, that they are his. They want him to be the Lord and Savior of their life. That's already taken place. What they're doing this morning is not their declaration to God. It's their declaration to you. It's the declaration of a statement that they will say to us that they have renounced an old way of being in the likeness of his death. The imagery that is calling and what they are saying by engaging in baptism is that they are putting away a life that is based on the glory of their own selves. That they no longer live just for the benefit of themselves, controlled by the effort or power of themselves, or that they are after just the constant comfort or instinctual responses of themselves, that they are laying aside that way of living to be raised, as it said in Romans, to a new way of life, that they're resurrected to a new way of being in the world, that they're joining this tribe of this crazy tribe of people that says we want to put to death the life of the self in order to live in this new way of being of Christ. A year and a half ago, I had the chance to walk through a rite of passage for my son. For his 14th year old birthday, we walked a rite of passage And we talked about what does it mean to be a boy and the elements of boyhood and the beautiful elements of what that might include. But then on his 14th birthday, we had this rite of passage ceremony for a day and a half and had a lot of different elements to it to celebrate and commemorate the passage of moving from boy to man. There was nothing magical that happened in that changed him. The ceremony didn't necessarily change him physically. It did, however, intentionally give us a chance to articulate the difference, right? This is the life of boyhood, and this is what it means to be a man. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to direct your attention to briefly this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us the new way of life. As in baptism, we put aside the old, the death to the old, and this new way in the likeness of his resurrection. What these dear people are coming before you to say, I want in on this new way of being in the world. 1 Corinthians 13, going to read just the first 7 verses about this way of life, this resurrected life. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to even remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is the way. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Paul speaks in the first 3 verses here and with an if-then statement. If I do this, then what will be the result? It's a logic statement. He's making a P equals Q statement. And he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels. Now, if you have your Bible open, look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, you're going to have some heading in your Bible that says something like spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, Paul's going to go through a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. One of those is the speaking in tongues that he talks about in chapter 12. He talks about that spiritual gift. And what Paul says, okay, if I have that gift that we just talked about, but I don't have love, he says, I'm just noise. Then Paul, in the next verse, verse 2, says, okay, let me expand on that. Let's not just choose one spiritual gift. Let's choose many spiritual gifts. And in verse 2, he says, if I have prophetic powers. Wow, that sounds like Marvel, right? I have prophetic powers. That sounds cool, right? I have prophetic powers. Sounds like a good one. And I can understand all. Okay, that's going to be a key word here. Paul uses all mysteries. Basically, I know it all. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the inworking of God, I can discern all things, all mysteries, and all knowledge. And if I have, again, all faith, what kind of faith? The kind of faith to remove mountains, all of that. So he's saying, not just if I have one gift and don't have love, it's nothing. He said, okay, let's say I got them all. I got them all in full scale, but have not love. He says, I am nothing. And then he goes one step further. If I commit radical self-sacrifice, right? He says, let's not just talk about spiritual gifting. Let's talk about self-sacrifice. If I give away, verse 3, everything I got, think about that. every asset you have, everything you own, if I gave it all away, and then if I surrendered my body to be burned, this is not just theoretical, this is what would happen to people who would be reading this. If I was martyred for the sake of Christ, if I gave everything, but just didn't have love, I gain nothing. Look at the end, if you got your Bibles open, at the end of chapter 12. It says this, after talking about all these gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way, or still a more excellent way. What does this have to do with baptism? This is the way. This is the resurrected life. That even with all the spiritual giftings and all the spiritual stuff and all the holy living and all the sacrifice that is part of being a Christian, and there is a lot of it, but ultimately the most excellent way, the most clearly defined way that we are called to follow this Christ in resurrected living, it is defined first and most excellently as living a life of love. And then quickly, what that love is spelled out. It's clearly defined. If you want to know what the outliving of the Christian life looks like in the most clear, concise way, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Patience and kindness are responses for when things go wrong. Like, I can be patient as long as you get done what I say on time. I can be kind as long as you clean up after yourself, right? But no, patience and kindness are exhibited when things go wrong. Love does not envy or boast. What are envy and boasting about? It's about my rank. It's about my rights. About how do I get more, and how come that person's got more than me? How do I climb? Or boasting is, how do I pull you down so I can show you I'm on top? It's about figuring out the ranking. It's not arrogant or rude. This is often environment of relationships, right? The way we speak and behave to each other. Are we arrogant talking about our successes, or rude in the way we treat? And this statement, which is so much what living a resurrected life is all about, love does not insist on its own way. Then it says it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love has everything to do with the truth. The truth is like the architecture. And love is like the building materials of the Christian life. The truth outlines the design and says how it should be lived and what we are called to. And love is actually filling in the way in which the building and a life is constructed. And I love this. The ending here is, love bears all things. Using the all again. There's a lot of things. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You take that love bears all things, and then you go down to endures all things. Well, love bears all things, difficult circumstances, people, things going on, but not like a hockey guy on a line where he goes out for 3 or 4 minutes and comes back because he's exhausted. Love bears all things for time, endures while bearing a continual commitment to the bearing up of the other. The calling of love is the foundational Christian calling. It's what these people are saying, of saying, I'm sacrificing the self to live the resurrected way of love, the way of my Christ. There's going to be something that happens. It happens at weddings, it happens at funerals, and it's going to happen as we sit and listen to these six beautiful stories. There's going to be some self-reflection that we will have as we see their lives. And as we see them making these spiritual statements and talking about their lives and decisions, there's going to be some things thought about, okay, it's the beginning of the year, my lives, my decisions. And inevitably, but Lord willing, their decisions are going to rub off on us. And we're like, hey, I want to live that way too. I'm tired of living the way of self, the way of fear, the way of grabbing, the way of chasing, the way of always trying to get more for me, me, me. I want to bury that too. I want to send that under the water too. I want to live a new way of life. That's going to be a good thing and a beautiful thing. But I want to add one more thing. We're about all the things today. As we hear stories, and as you naturally take some inventory of your own soul, I want to remind you that 1 Corinthians 13 doesn't just describe a calling. It describes your God. John doesn't say God has love or God is good at love. John says God is love. This same Greek word, agape, unconditional love. The description of love, as we said, 4-7 is the greatest description of unconditional love in the history of written or spoken word. It is most true, not of how we treat each other. We're poor reflections of this. It is most true of He who is most love. And so as we hear these stories, as we think about 2026, I just want to remind you what remains true. That God's love for you is patient and kind in reaction to when things go wrong. God's love for you is not envious or trying to get one-upsmanship. God's love for you is not insisting on His own comfortable way. God's love for you is not irritated. He doesn't look at your past with resentment. God's love for you doesn't sit there and rejoice at all of the mistakes that are made, but rejoices in the truth that His love will endure. 2026, just like the years before, Christ's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And as verse 8 ends the statement of Paul, that love never ends. It is His love that brings us to the waters. It is His love that these people will be in the likeness of His resurrected in this new way of life. It is that love that will empower these individuals to live out this high calling. It's His love that's enough. Going to invite Tim Hunt out as we begin our celebration of these courageous people as they seek to speak to us of their commitment to this new way of life.
All right. You're right on the side. Yep. So, John, is it your desire to publicly testify of your relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life?
Yes.
We're going to hear about it right now.
Hi, I'm John Kenny III, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian family, and we would read the Bible. We would come to church every Sunday. I moved away. I got away from that, unfortunately, and times got worse. And I was losing my faith, but I believed in God, but I wasn't worshiping God. There came a point in my life where I wanted to find the Lord again. I didn't want to do this alone. And I knew change had to happen, so I started studying again. And started praying more. And things got better. Christ is Lord. I wanted to get baptized because it's a nice fresh start to be born again and to really want to follow the Lord is not something you could just halfway do. I want to do the whole thing and really get in there and start being more serious about it. And this is the first step.
Not a stay long.
Right here. All right. John, it's your desire to be baptized today and in profession of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. John, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in likeness of his death, in likeness of his resurrection. We're going to invite Mike Caparelli to join us next in the tank. Mike, is it your desire today to publicly testify to your relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
We're going to watch it now, hear about your testimony.
Hello, my name is Michael Caparelli, and I'm standing here today because I want to publicly declare my faith in Jesus Christ through baptism. I grew up in a Catholic home, attended CCD classes, learning about God, but never truly had a relationship with Jesus. Around middle school, I started drifting away. I began hanging out on the streets with the wrong crowd. Those choices led into my high school years, where I became a real party kid. I was never home, always out on the streets, smoking pot, drinking at a young age. In my senior year, I made a serious mistake that led me on the drug court probation program for about 4 years. Honestly, that program helped me get my head somewhat back on track, but by the last few years, I was still slipping. By the grace of God alone, I graduated. But once I turned 21, I drifted right back into old habits. I was going to the bars every weekend. My drug use spiraled into deeper and darker places. It took complete control of my life, eventually leading me into isolation, locked away in my room, drowning in addiction. During COVID, something started to shift. I didn't know it then, but it was the Lord calling me home. I started feeling the urge to clean my life up, to change. But I looked for help in all the wrong places, the world, even other religions. I was trying everything except surrendering my life to Jesus. I was lost, constantly fighting addiction, losing more than I was winning. Then came November 20th, 2021. I remember it clear as day. I had been locked away in my room for a couple of days. And in that moment, it felt like my eyes were finally opened. I heard the voice of Jesus. I felt his love, his presence calling me home. I dropped to my knees in a complete breakdown, overwhelmed by love, forgiveness, safety, and this deep, undeniable feeling that I was finally home with the Father. And from that day on, by his power alone, I had never had a craving or urge for drugs again. Jesus changed my entire life in an instant. I started taking care of my health. I lost 180 pounds. I was getting my life back on track with him involved this time. I began prioritizing my relationship with him. It felt like years of weight were lifted off of me, washed clean. I dug into my Bible, began praying, talking with God, and building a real relationship with Jesus. And by the grace of God alone, this past November, I celebrate 4 years saved and sober. I truly love Jesus, the King of Kings. He is the foundation of my entire life, my Savior and my Lord. A verse I've been holding on to lately is Romans 6:6 through 12, which reminds me that my old self was crucified with Christ and I am no longer a slave to sin. I now walk in new life and today I declare that publicly through baptism.
Come here. The mic for you to come up here.
Right there.
Right there. How about we get you back up? All right, no need to. Your desire today is no rush. I want to get you back up. Today, your desire is to publicly testify through baptism of your relationship with Jesus as your Savior. It's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in likeness of his death, in likeness of his resurrection. Woo! Give me a hug, mate. All right.
Good morning. What a joyous morning to be with you guys. We're going to invite Jackson Orndorff down here with me. Jackson, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear about it.
Jackson Orndorff. I'm 15 years old and I'm a sophomore in high school. So my mother was a practicing Catholic when I was born, so I was baptized by sprinkling, but she transitioned over to FCC when I was around 5. So I came to Sunday school every Sunday, and when I was around 7, I was kind of going through the motions. I was doing everything that people were telling me to do, but I didn't really understand why everything was so important. So one day, Mr. Candy gave us a sermon instead of a normal video, which kind of bummed me out, but I was like, okay, sure, I'll listen. And he talked about when you get saved, or when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God writes your name down in the big book in heaven of all the people who are saved. And he invited us to say a prayer with him to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So that was really the first informed decision I made about my spiritual life. So that was when I turned to Jesus Christ, but I had gotten away from him in the years following. I hadn't been following him as closely as I really wanted to. When I was about 15, I had a really dark spot in my life. I wasn't following the Lord at all. And I had a lot of mental health problems, and I was pushing a lot of my closest friends away. It was not good. So it all came to a head one day, and I realized that I needed Jesus to step into my life now more than ever. So I tried to repent. I tried to turn back to him. And what really helped me was the wild retreat with the youth group. And I spent a lot of healing time with the Lord during devotionals and just in our community out in nature. And on the last night while we were singing worship, I realized how much good God has done in my life, and that's when I knew that I wanted to be baptized. And since then, I've been closer to him, and I've been closer to my friends here at FCC. I've been building new relationships while strengthening old ones. And I realized that I was carrying a lot of burdens on my own, and that if I just gave them over to Jesus, my life would be so much easier. And as he says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and my burdens are light. And that quote has stuck with me since I started turning back to God. And I want to be baptized today to show the difference that Jesus has made in my life.
Jackson, is it your desire to testify that relationship through baptism today?
Yes.
It is my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death.
In the likeness of his resurrection.
Peace.
William Sharp is going to join us next. What's up, Will? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear about it.
Hello, my name is Will Sharp, and I'm here to share my testimony. When I was born, I was adopted into a Christian family, and we've been going to church like every Sunday. I wasn't paying attention, and I always got in trouble in school and always talking back to people, and it didn't really end up well for me. And I used to hate Christian music. I always tell my mom to turn it off, and I always complained and never wanted to really go to church. Then one Sunday when I was forced to go to church, I went to Sunday school, and a guy came to teach us for Sunday school, and I don't remember his name. I was listening to him as he explained all these things that were sins. And I was sitting and I thought to myself, I was like, wow, I really have been sinning my whole life. And I felt like something inside me wants to know more. So then he said, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, raise your hand. And I was one of the people that raised my hand and I accepted Jesus into my heart. One day after I accepted Jesus in my heart, my best friend died. And it was really shocking for me. And I was like, God, why did you have to take his life? Because he was so young. And I was just like processing, shocked, talking with my friends. And when I went to his funeral, all his family members were praising the Lord, cheering and all that. I was like, how, God, how are they cheering right now when you literally took their son from them? And I realized that the Holy Spirit is guiding them and showing them that you did on purpose and you have a path that you know how to show them and that they know that they will see him again in a better place. And I was like, if you can make them be happy through the Holy Spirit, then I'll try to be happy no matter what and go work through you. And then since that ever happened, I felt much happier in my life. And I try not to be disrespectful and talk back to my parents and everybody, but sometimes I do. And I praise him every night, every morning, anytime my ups or downs. And then I realized that my life is just so much better with him. And I've been going on missions trips and I have started helping people through the Christ of Jesus. And I have started to like Christian music again. And I started to see what God has done through me. And the reason why I wanted to be baptized is to tell the world that I have accepted Jesus and want to follow him as a disciple and taking the next step in the world.
Well, is it your desire to testify that relationship through baptism today?
Yes.
It is my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the likeness of his death, in the likeness of his resurrection. Next out is going to be Stephen Cedar. Yeah, it's very warm in here. Stephen, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All right, let's hear about that testimony right now.
When I was a boy, my parents wound up getting divorced, and I was very hurt by it, and I spent a lot of time in isolation, avoiding people, trying to comfort myself with the ways of the world, and I always was left empty, feeling this hole that I still needed to pursue this. And I went through school. I met somebody. We were in a committed relationship. We wound up getting married. We bought a house. We had two kids. Things seemed like they were going really well. We were blessed in all the ways, but I did not give any of that credit to God and always felt a little too good. I always thought about when things might go wrong and what I might actually do in those situations. Lo and behold, COVID came onto the scene of the world and tore apart many families. We were not left unscathed. After the lockdown started, the basis I built my identity and fitness, I was locked out of as well. And I descended into a dark path of disordered behaviors, eating disorder, and it hurt my relationship a lot. I tried to dedicate my life towards my family and provide for them in all the ways of which I thought was important, but none of the ways which they really needed me to. And we drifted and we split apart, my wife and I. Our relationship didn't last. And as difficult as that was to reconcile with us, with our children, we did. I found a place to live. And a week before I moved out, I found myself in the back of an ambulance with what was essentially a panic attack, something I never experienced before. And for the first time in the back of an ambulance, I didn't know if I was going to be okay. And I didn't really have much hope that they were going to be able to help me either. But I did recover. And I thought from there it was a one-off incident. And that it would be okay. But my story didn't get better. Things with my family were tough. And I was not recovering, I was getting worse. And I had a really dark time. I remember in those moments of what seemed like utter despair, praying out to God for help. Yet I did not repent. Something pulled me to come back to church. It's been there for a long time, but I never listened to it. So I came back to the church. I came here for a sermon and it spoke to me. And I wanted to come back again. So I did. And it really spoke to me and encouraged me to join groups here within the church, to build community, to build fellowship. And I did. And I found some great people, a great group who helped support me, bolster my faith. And I started reading the Word. And I had never expected this to happen, but I just turned voracious for it. It transformed me. I couldn't get enough of it. All the doubts that I had about Scripture, as I read, they didn't grow. They were taken away. There was a point where I had come to a realization that I needed to repent, to reconcile, and I did. And it hit a place of emotion that I have not experienced in perhaps all my adult life. And I prayed for forgiveness for the many years of denying and turning away from him, to accept and confess Jesus Christ as my Savior. Every waking day, I have the pleasure of being able to kneel before God and speak to him as a son and recognize the blessings that he gives me. And I'm truly grateful for him taking control of my life, for giving me a new identity, for giving me his love and his joy and the sacrifice of Christ to Jesus that he laid bare to us all. It became evident to me in a way that I had never realized that I would find. Today I'm getting baptized to proclaim to the world my faith in Christ Jesus, to signify my identity in him, and to follow the practices laid out in Scripture, to be baptized by water, as is in spirit.
Stephen, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death.
Likeness of his resurrection.
We're going to invite Nina to join us on stage now. Warm. Told you it's warm.
Phone.
All right. Nina, is it your desire today to publicly testify to your relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
We're going to hear about it right now.
My childhood was traumatic, to say the least. But through everything, my mom and stepdad, the man who raised me, were a constant source of love and stability for me. We started attending FCC in 2002 when I was 8 years old. And shortly after, my parents gave their lives to Christ. I still remember watching their baptism in this very room, which makes standing here today very surreal. I gave my life to Jesus the same year during VBS at FCC, but unfortunately, my story didn't end there. High school was extremely difficult behind the scenes. I did well academically, but my birth father struggled deeply with mental health and substance abuse issues. I spent years helping him and getting into rehabs and hospitals, which eventually led to his felony conviction and homelessness. From ages 17 to 27, I experienced repeated sexual, physical, and emotional abuse from men, and that's when my own addictions began. Between the ages of 18 and 27, I was heavily addicted to alcohol and drugs, and trapped in a cycle of toxic relationships. I didn't go a single day without using some sort of substance. In December of 2020, I found out I was pregnant while drunk and high. I quit everything the moment I saw the test. But in January 2021, I miscarried, and my addiction, especially to drugs, spiraled even deeper. At the time, I was working at a bar that had become increasingly dangerous to be at. One night, a man pulled a gun on me because he thought someone had stolen from him at the bar. The police didn't arrive for 28 minutes. I don't know exactly what changed that night, but I knew that this could not be my legacy. Since getting sober, my entire life has changed. I started a new career in the automotive industry, where God led me to meet my husband. On September 12th of this year, we got married, and honestly, marrying him is my greatest accomplishment. God is so good and so intentional because we fit perfectly together. The miscarriage I went through, one of the hardest experiences of my life, became a blessing I never expected. My baby is safe in heaven, untouched by the pain of the decisions I was making. I'm grateful to God for even that tragedy because it marked the moment where the cycle ended with me. I never stopped believing in God, but I definitely distanced myself from Him for a long time. Today I'm here to rededicate my life to Jesus and to live every day grateful for the way He pulled me out of the darkness that I created for myself. Nothing worthwhile comes easily. God gave me pain so He can turn it into purpose. And if you're going through pain right now, remember this. If it's not good yet, then God isn't done yet. I am so grateful to stand here today. I am so blessed to be alive. God gave me a second chance at life, and I plan on using every single day to live it for Him. Thank you.
Let's do it.
I'm ready. Nina, is it your desire today to publicly testify through baptism to your relationship with Jesus?
Yes, please.
It's my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The likeness of His resurrection.
Yay!
Next, we're going to ask Paula to join us into the tub. Paula, is it your desire today to publicly testify? Is this better? What's going on? Is it your desire to publicly testify to your relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life? We're going to hear about it.
And from a young age, I believed in Jesus and His sacrifice for my salvation. I do remember a time when I was about 15. I was home alone. And two women knocked at our door and wanted to share Jesus with me. And I agreed. And after they did, they asked me if I wanted to receive Jesus in my heart. And I said I did. And they had explained about my sin and His love for me and my need for Him to save me from my sin. So they walked me through the sinner's prayer. And afterward, I thought, I don't think I heard anything that I didn't know before. But at the same time, I felt like I took a step closer to Jesus than I'd ever been. I knew that I couldn't earn my way into heaven, that I needed trust in Him. And it's not easy. I've often leaned on my own understanding, did things my way without trusting God. I've been plagued with depression for most of my life. And it's easy to believe all the negative thoughts in my head about myself, about my circumstances. And at one point, I even planned to take my own life because I was just at the end of myself. But Jesus was there. And He put people in my path, and He led me away from those thoughts back to Him. And I've prayed a lot throughout my life for various circumstances, and He has always carried me through, just like the Footprints poem. And I still struggle all the time with thoughts that I'm not enough, not good enough, not strong enough, just not enough. But God is. There have been many situations in my life that I thought I couldn't still be here if Jesus didn't have a specific plan for my life. And that reminds me of my favorite verse, which is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that's why I want to be baptized today, to show the world that I am a child of God and Satan has no hold on me.
The one, yeah, all right, there we go. All right, Paula, is it your desire today to publicly testify by being baptized of who the Lord is in your life? And we're excited to do so. Well, it's my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in likeness of his death,
in likeness of his resurrection.
We're going to invite Tom out next to join us in the tank. Tom, is it your desire today to publicly testify to who the Lord is in your life through baptism?
Yes.
We're going to watch it online. We're going to see it now on the TV.
Hello, my name is Tom Danzer, and I was raised in a Christian home with my immediate family, my father, my mother, and my sister, and we attended church regularly. My mom, sister, and my father all got baptized as a family, but I was deemed too young at the time, and I did accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior at a very young age. As an older teenager, I kind of drifted away from attending church regularly. I used working on Sundays as an excuse not to go. I put in the appearances at Christmas Eve and Easter services as if to, you know, it was sufficient. I prayed for things I needed or wanted, but I really never sought a personal relationship with the Lord. Years go by quickly, and I stood and I put an effort to read the Bible or attend church. I still prayed every day and was thankful, but never asked the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit or surrender my life to Him. And even with my lack of effort, as stated in Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. And I would uphold you with my righteous right hand," and he kept his promise with me. Our loving Lord got me through all life's trials that we all experience from different degrees. Now also my immediate family, financial setbacks, health issues with myself and my wife, and betrayals by people who I really trusted. And looking back, I know now that Jesus was calling me through those events for a closer personal relationship with him. They say the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I'm here to tell you, you may not understand what's going on at the time, but he does. A few years back, I was working outside my home, and my now wife Paula drove by and stopped. We had gone to high school together, but I hadn't seen her since then. We chatted for a while, and she left. And I felt a draw. I really was interested in continuing a friendship with her, but I didn't even know where she lived or had her phone number. And short time later, I was out walking through the neighborhood, and I unbeknownstly passed by Paula's house. She saw me and came outside, and we were talking. And from there, we started to talk regularly. And later on, as we continued to talk, she asked me if I was a Christian, if I was interested in attending church with her. It had been many years since I had been to church, but I eagerly said yes. And we started to come to FCC in 2020. I became excited more and more each week to learn more about Jesus. And I also began to read the Bible. I asked the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit and surrendered my life to Him. And as an aside, Paul and I were married here at FCC. We've been together for about 5 years. And the Lord has blessed me so much, and I cannot count the ways. And I want everyone to know He always cares about you and wanting to have a closer personal relationship with you. And I'm always forever grateful for the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, as stated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is why I'm getting baptized today, to declare that to all. God bless you.
privilege. With the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. His love is resurrection.
Julianne is going to join me down here. Julianne, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear about it.
Hi, my name is Julianne Kwiatkowski. I grew up going to church pretty much every Sunday, but I never really had a relationship with Jesus outside of that. I've struggled with depression and anxiety for pretty much as long as I can remember. When I was around 6 or 7 years old, I think that was the first time that I told my parents that I wanted to die. When I was 17, I actually had plans to take my own life, and I was about to go downstairs to carry out with this plan. And all of a sudden, I felt this overwhelming sense of peace, and the desire to end my life went away. I didn't realize what it was at the time, but I realized years later that I felt the Lord's presence for the first time. Fast forward about 10 years, when I was about 27, I was going through a really difficult time, and a close friend of mine recommended to me that I start going to therapy. This was a really difficult step for me because I knew that it would be really difficult for me to talk about things that had happened to me during my childhood and young adulthood. I remember the night before my first therapy session, I remember praying to the Lord and just asking Him to be with me and to help me through it. And He really did. For the next year and a half or so, I was going to therapy probably every other week. There were some really difficult times for me just working through things that had happened. And He really was there for me, even in my darkest nights. That period of time really changed my life, and the Lord drew me closer to Him. And He also helped me to forgive others and to love others more deeply. He also put it on my heart to serve. And during this time, I got involved with a homeless ministry in Philadelphia, making care packages for homeless people and giving them out. The past couple of years have definitely been difficult in some ways, but I really learned to trust the Lord more. And He's really taught me to depend on Him and to trust His plan and His timing, even if I don't understand what's going on. And I truly learned that His plan is always better than mine. Even if it doesn't always seem like it at the time, it always works out better in His way. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying about the decision to be baptized because I had never been baptized, even though I had been had considered myself Christian for most of my life. And the Lord put it on my heart to sign up for the baptism class. And I'm really excited to be baptized. And I just wanted to share two of my favorite Bible verses that have helped me through a lot. The first one is in James 1. It's verses 2 and 3. And it's, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." And the second one is in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. And it's, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Julianne, is it your desire today to testify that relationship with Jesus through baptism?
Yes.
It is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of His death,
in the likeness of His resurrection.
He's so cool.
Last but certainly not least, we got Josh Hernandez joining me in here. Got quite the fan club up here. Josh, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All right, let's hear about it.
Hi, my name is Josh Hernandez, and I'm 17 years old. So I spent the first 16 years of my life Catholic. I was baptized as a baby, and I've gone to Catholic school all my life. And I'm pretty grateful for that background, but unfortunately, that's really as far as my relationship with Jesus went. We'd go to church, and like I'd pray maybe like before a match or like when I wanted something. But all my memories as a kid of going to church are just staring at my mom's watch and like counting down the minutes till Mass was over. And when high school rolled around, I think there was a lot more opportunities for like dumb stuff like parties and drinking and like acting up in school. There's a lot more things to like kind of like preoccupy my mind from Jesus, and I kind of really lost sight of him in high school. And at the time, the biggest thing in my life was my sport, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It was something I felt like really defined me. I would go to practice before school, after school, Saturdays and Sundays. It was just like all I really cared about in life. And as sad as it sounds, it was like my whole identity. There was no Josh Hernandez without Jiu-Jitsu. And September 2024, it started a long string of surgeries and injuries I had, which took me out of Jiu-Jitsu for an entire year. And that really took an emotional toll on me. It felt like the structure I had in my life was kind of like taken away. I really feel like everything was falling apart. And I didn't really know what to do. And in October of that year, I started praying for the first time in a couple of years. But it wasn't really like prayers of faith. I wasn't like thanking God or anything. I would just be like, God, please heal me so I can go back to training. Amen. And that was the entire prayer. And I was doing that maybe like once or twice a week. And it's kind of just what I was doing for a couple months. And in Easter, during that weekend, we went to visit my sister, who was a freshman in college. And the entire weekend, she just seemed so happy and like a completely different person. And she was telling me about her faith and how Jesus is the reason she's so happy. And she was not like that when she left for college. She was like a completely new person. And on Sunday, we went to her evangelical church. And that was the first time in my life that I felt like there was a purpose behind going to church. I really was listening. I wanted a relationship with Jesus. I wanted to sing the songs. I wanted to feel him. I wanted to hear the Bible. And I didn't realize it that day, but that was the moment that kind of lit the spark for me. It kind of planted the seed. And when we got home, for the first time in my whole life, I told my mom I want to go to church. But I wanted to find a church where people really love Jesus. One where it didn't feel like routine to me. One where I felt like home there. And we started coming to fellowship. And it completely changed my life. I really started like diving into my faith. My sister got me a Bible and I started reading it. And that was awesome for me. And one night, I remember I said my prayer of asking to be healed. And when I was done, I went on my phone and started watching TikTok. And the first video was the song, "Oh Come to the Altar." And the lyrics hit me in a way that like nothing had before. And I realized that for months I've been praying for my broken body when I really should have been praying for my broken soul. And that was a really emotional night for me because I realized how far from Jesus I was. And I realized that the hole in my heart couldn't have been filled by going back to training. It was a Jesus-shaped hole that only he could fill. And I really knew that night I wanted to just stop going through this meaningless cycle of sin and no repentance. I just wanted to give everything to him. And it took me a while, but I think that was the night I started to do it. That was the night I really accepted him as my Lord and Savior and decided I want to give my life to him. Since that night, I've been coming to fellowship every Sunday and youth group every Friday, which really changed my life. I now have friends who make me feel good, friends who lead me to Jesus, not to sin. And I really love the community I found at fellowship here. Those surgeries left me really broken and devastated, but I thank God every day that they did because my life had to be torn apart so I could rebuild it on the firm foundation that is Jesus. And now I feel more stable. Giving my life to Jesus is giving me so much, but most of all, I think it's giving me hope. I know I'm going to fall along the way. I know I'm going to have bad days and hard times, but I still have this joy inside of me because I know no matter what happens, I can always get back up and go running to the Father. Jesus went up on the cross and he paid the debt that I owed. And he suffered for me. And so that's why I want to be baptized today, to declare that I am his and I'm now living for him.
Woo.
I should have watched that one before. Josh, is it your desire to testify today through baptism? Well, it is my honor and joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death, in the likeness of his resurrection. Thank you guys so much for being here this morning. And I think about when Jesus taught, he used so many stories. And we got to hear a bunch of stories about God working in people's lives. And It's easy. Maybe some of you started reading plans in January and you're like, the Bible's incredible and we need to read it, but there's something special about hearing God working right here, right now, in people's lives right in front of us. And just as you heard it was just the one moment of stirring, one decision, one drop to a knee. That's all it took. And if the Lord is stirring in any of your hearts, just listen to that. Just listen to the call of the Lord. He is willing and able to forgive you of your sins. And thank you guys so much for being here. I just want to close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you for the work that you do in each of our lives. And just the reminder of today, Lord, that you truly have power over sin, addiction, strongholds. Lord, you break us free. Lord, you came to set us free. God, and if there's people here today that are just feeling bound up or enslaved, or just exhausted, Lord, would you call them this morning? And even as Jackson read the verse, Lord, that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Lord, would you be rest to them, move in a way that only you can move, Lord, and set them free, Lord, in your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.